yeah, they'll just say next cruising, right, next presenter, and it'll be the white person, like the rectangular.
And is your, are your first couple slides the
a title and then the disclosure? So yes, did an IRP or registry?
Yeah, give it 5 minutes.
Thank you.
the sad part of this glass is I can't see. If I look down, I can't see if I look out there. Oh, aging is so fun. Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our session on engaging young people in action research and evaluation in public health. My name is Maureen Sedonin, and I'm from the Youth Leadership Institute in San Francisco, and it's my pleasure to welcome you here as the moderator. We have five very dynamic women on our panel who all have a tremendous amount of experience, knowledge, and tips and tricks for a way to really meaningfully engage young people in being researchers, being evaluators, and doing it in a very scientific way. They've traditionally been excluded from participation, particularly around alcohol, tobacco, or other drugs. Researchers and practitioners often go in and look at young people as the subjects of their research or their evaluation, but not often as social scientists alongside with them. So we're very happy today to have such a distinguished and fine panel. We're going to be talking a little bit about the benefits for the field, the benefits for organizations and communities, and the benefits as being social justice advocates, and Dr. Juris is going to go more deeply into those fine benefits for you. So our first panelist today, talking about what does it take to partner with young people on alcohol prevention, research, and evaluation, lessons learned from successful youth-adult partnerships, is Dr. Jennifer Juris.
That's when you clap.
So, good afternoon. As Maureen said, my name is Jennifer Juris, and I'm a researcher and also with the Youth Leadership Institute. And I'm going to be providing some overview information about what youth and adult partnerships and research and evaluation look like, some of the benefits and challenges, and just what it takes to do this kind of work. So, and I have no relationships to disclose. So first of all, why engage young people in research and evaluation? As Maureen said, there are a number of benefits for the field in terms of the field of research. Researchers have been noting that youth evaluators are improving quality of research by producing knowledge through processes used by academic researchers and by developing their own methods to gather and disseminate information. There's also a number of benefits for organizations and communities, and when young people are involved in decision-making, their participation changes and improves the quality and the creativity of decisions. There are a number of benefits for young people. So youth researchers build skills and experience other youth development outcomes that a number of our panelists will be talking about. We have some specific tools that actually measure those, and we have data that we've gathered over time that document these benefits for young people. And then finally, there's implications for social justice, that engagement in research provides young people opportunities to contribute to the improvement of organizations, schools, and communities in which they participate, and doesn't leave them out. So some of the things that we've learned after doing this type of work for a very long time is that young people are capable of doing some pretty sophisticated, high-quality evaluation and research with support from adults, and it's really a powerful tool to engage young people in community problem-solving. Youth participation really ensures that evaluation as research is more relevant to their peers, whether they're involved in framing the issues so that it's relevant to young people, developing tools that are youth-friendly and, you know, have, you know, appropriately measure the scope of issues, or in their having their lens on the analysis and on recommendations that will actually work. We've also learned that data related to youth serving systems really get a lot of attention when the data is collected by young people. So we've seen a lot of examples of that. I already covered that one. And then finally, youth action research provides the community with opportunities to see young people leading positive change efforts. As Maureen said before, usually young people are considered targets. So young people are binge drinkers. Young people are being targeted by the alcohol industry. Young people are targets of our interventions. But they're not usually seen, you know, especially in the media and in the general community, as people who take charge of community solving problem and are seen as providing solutions. They're more like we're supposed to solve the problems for them, or they're producing the problems. And finally, youth evaluation and action research provides the community with a lot of fresh data, and there will be many examples of this on this panel. So what does youth engagement and research look like? So that really depends on the degree or the intensity of youth engagement. So, there may be low, medium, or really high intensity engagement of young people. And before I launch into what low intensity engagement might look like, I'm going to go over something called Hart's Ladder that really frames what youth-adult partnerships look like. So as you can see at the bottom of the ladder, I think you can see that, some of the things to really avoid, especially in the low-intensity efforts, are manipulation, so where youth involvement is used to really communicate adult messages. So it's not really the young people who are behind the effort, but they, can we find some young people to speak at this meeting or at this press conference to communicate our message, and it's not the young people's message. And then there's tokenization, where young people might be involved very minimally, and they're asked to speak for all young people, but aren't supported to gather the impressions and the viewpoints of young people. So, and as you go further up the ladder, you see young people are more and more engaged, where you get towards almost to the top, and you see that it's young people taking charge, and adults aren't involved so much, so there's no support, or that it's youth-initiated, and they might share some decisions with adults. But it's when you get to the top of that ladder where it's really a youth-adult partnership, and that's what we're really aiming for in these initiatives. So that's just another slide that really outlines what those different stages are. So back to what does youth engagement look like? So in terms of low-intensity engagement, young people might play a consultant role to increase the validity of your research. So we've seen a lot of examples where young people are assist in defining a research area, where they might participate in focus groups to really define what does this issue look like for them, what's their experience, what are the appropriate response categories for an issue, developing relevant survey questions, and also just interpreting results. So getting young people to look at your survey findings and saying, what does that really mean in my school and community? Why are you finding this, and what does it mean, and what are the implications? There might be some medium intensity engagement where young people might be involved in multiple components of a short-term research project. So some examples that we've seen in alcohol prevention is there's a community which Tracy works with, where they train their young people to do their one-on-one interviews for CMCA. So really they went out and did interviews, and that did the assessment for their alcohol prevention efforts and their environmental prevention efforts, and it helped engage people in the process and bring them on board to mobilize the community around the project. We've seen young people involved in community mapping to drive some sort of community change, so mapping their communities, and just other action-oriented research. And this is an example from one of our youth councils, and Amanda Q will be talking more about the youth council model later on in the panel. But this is an example. Our young people in Fresno mapped the liquor stores around the high schools in their community, and they discovered that alcohol outlets were really concentrated around the schools from the lower-income neighborhoods. And they used their findings to get their city policymakers to join in their efforts and to visit the stores, to get the merchants to reduce their alcohol advertising and to examine their alcohol product placement and to commit to not selling to young people. And just this next quote, this is a quote from one of those youth council members that I thought was very powerful. He's saying, hey, how come there are 30 outlets around this school in a low-income neighborhood, and there's only 4 around this one that's in a higher-income neighborhood? And he's expressing his outrage and a powerful call to action. So finally, there's higher intensity engagement. So young people might be an integral part of an entire project or a multi-phase project that lasts for a considerable amount of time, and young people and adults partner throughout. So examples that we've seen are youth evaluation teams that are located in city government or in county agencies that focus on alcohol prevention. We have young people who are involved in community-wide assessments where there's multiple modes of data collection. Youth-adult partnerships on really just on longer-term projects that have multiple components. So young people have to be quite skilled in research methods. So finally, what does it take to do this? The first thing is staffing. So if you are in some sort of a county agency or in a nonprofit, if you're in academia, this is a pretty time-consuming process and requires time. Commitment of time, and usually like a half-time person to really focus on this, and maybe even an assistant. It's not something that people can typically do in a couple hours a week. It really requires some devotion to the process. And besides resources that are typical research resources, like, depending on the project, like, having tape recorders and software and computers and all of that, something to factor in for youth involvement is transportation often. So if young people are administering surveys or if they are conducting focus groups or interviews, they often need some sort of transportation to get there. And then another resource is stipends. So we found that this process works a lot better if you pay young people a wage or some sort of stipend to compensate them for their time. For one, this means that young people from families with limited financial resources have the opportunity to participate in the project, and it also gives the group or the project an elevated sense of seriousness and importance in their eyes. And we've seen people do this with an hourly wage or some sort of monthly stipend for participation. It requires, besides funding, funder education. So because this is fairly, it can be fairly intensive, really educating your funders about what the money is going for. Because if you're in a nonprofit or some sort of organization and you're using resources to train and support young people to do this, they may say, you're spending how much for 8 young people? How come you're not serving hundreds of young people? Or, if you're in university, you having to add on, a certain amount of money to support young people through that process is pretty intensive. So really just educating funders about why and the benefits of engaging young people in this process. It also requires agency readiness. So regardless of whether you need the support and the buy-in of your agency leadership, and that's regardless of if the project is in one of your agency programs or if they're taking on an issue outside, like school reform or something, because young people are making recommendations and that would lead to change, and that can be threatening to a lot of people. And they need to, whether it's internal or external, they really need the support of the whatever leadership is in your agency. There also has to be commitment to youth input and decision making and capacity to actually implement the recommendations that they come up with. And then finally, just capacity to do this sort of work. So, partnering with a university or with somebody who knows the area well, who has expertise in working with young people and youth adult partnerships in your issue area and in research and evaluation to provide the support that you need. And then finally, just the thinking about the agency planning cycle. So how do you integrate the youth input into your cycle? So if there's an annual evaluation report, making sure that the young people's project fits in with that and is integrated well, or if there's a staff retreat where people could look at their recommendations and it could be integrated into program planning, that's the ideal time to, it's best to time the project so that they coincide with that. And then, finally, you need a plan with clear and specific roles for youth and adults. One of the things that we do is really adhere to youth development principles. So we have surveys that measure the quality of the youth development supports and opportunities that young people experience when they're working with us. And it's important if you want to get young people who really represent the communities that you're working with, you can't just bring young people in and say, okay, well, you're going to be a researcher now, and really all they're about is doing research. I mean, you have to be able to provide the supports and opportunities that they need so that this is a little bit more like a program and that that it's not just, okay, come in and do your work. It's a little more complicated, and you'll hear about that from some of our panelists. It requires ongoing evaluation and reflection by young people and adults, and recruitment of youth leaders not currently engaged in traditional leadership activities, and from communities not well represented in community decision-making and planning. In terms of training, so what else does it take to do this? A lot of training. One of the things that we use at YLI is we have a 7-step model of research and evaluation training that I believe Amanda Q was going to go over in more detail. That includes determining the goal of the research, breaking it down into smaller parts to be measured, sampling, tool development, administration, data analysis, so really kind of the whole spectrum. We focus on adult training to partner with young people, including overcoming stereotypes and skills for coaching young people. We provide training on the issue, so we do a lot of, we have a lot of projects where we support people where they're using an environmental approach to ATOD prevention, so we do a lot of that training on focusing, how to focus on policy and norms and systems change, and training on action planning. And then finally, for our efforts, because so much of it is action research, we do training on community organizing, on media advocacy, and then finally just on general leadership skills for young people. So how do you facilitate a meeting? How do you plan a meeting? How do you do active listening? How do groups make decisions together? So all of that. So, and if anybody has any questions, they can come up and talk, you know, ask questions at the end of the panel. You can come up and talk with me, or you can contact me here. Thank you.
Okay. All right. We will now hear from our next panelist. As soon as I find her. That's okay.